Today's first scripture reading is Psalm 19, verses 7 through 10, and can be found on page 499 of the Old Testament of your Pew Bible. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Julian, Jim, Carolyn. Thank you all. It was beautiful. Friends, let's hear our second scripture reading. We're continuing on in the story of Jesus moving towards the cross through the stories of the Gospels. And today, we're going to look at a very iconic story of Jesus messing things up in the temple. Hear the word of the Lord from John chapter 2. Jesus cleanses the temple. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers were seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. Let's pray. God, let us hear your words freshly this morning. Help us to understand what it means to cleanse the temple of ourselves and also the temple of our corporate life together here at St. James. God, let the speaker fade into the back and may your words speak to each of us. Amen. So last week we heard a story about an individual getting in the way of the work of Jesus. Peter, trying to turn Jesus away from the path to the cross that he had been choosing to take. Moving in this shift in his ministry away from traveling around the towns and more directly focused on going towards Jerusalem and going towards the cross. We see Peter in this moment as an example of a person trying to do the right thing, but ultimately getting it wrong and needing to be redirected. Thankfully, we see Jesus do this and know that Peter is restored into community very quickly. There's a rebuke immediately. "Get behind me, Satan." And then, as quickly, forgiveness and restoration. This week we get a story about a group, a community of people who get in the way of God's purposes. We witness one of the most radical stories in Jesus' ministry, where he overturns the tables in the holiest place in the world for his people, the temple. A community of people has become complicit in the distraction of others. A part of the problem in turning people's hearts and minds away from the God that they were to worship, the true, authentic practice in the temple. Jesus once again comes with a strong rebuke. I mean, he makes a whip and just starts going after the cattle. It's a strong rebuke. Zeal for God's house consumes him. And he starts rampaging around this temple market. He goes so far as to talk about how the temple will fall and be rebuilt. He's making big claims about the wrongdoing of his people. This group of religious faithful who've ultimately turned worship of God into a mockery. From this text, we can draw many conclusions. We can learn about what it means to follow God faithfully, while not letting our practices or the trappings of religion get in the way. The people of God had been warned about this time and again, to not let their sacrifices and their wailing in the temple and their religious piety, not let that get in the way of true, authentic connection with God. The people of God continue to be warned to not let their displays of righteousness or their complicity with the powers of the world get in the way. At our Vesper service on Sunday night last week, we heard a text that talked about prayer. Talked about letting our piety be shown before others, or actually not letting it be shown before others, but actually going and praying in private so that God and us might be in that personal encounter, but it not be something that we boast about. We continue to be reminded to not let our practice get in the way of authentic connection with God. This story is about needing to turn our focus back to God in this season. It's about needing to put our sights in the right direction. A really interesting aside to this text that I found in my study this week, one commentator that I was reading reminds us that this marketplace is set on the outskirts of the temple. Now, this would be the place that all people would be able to enter into the temple, not just Jewish people, but Gentiles, people who are coming through the town who are from foreign lands. This outside area that had been set up as a marketplace was actually the only place in the temple that all people could belong. Can you see the problem with that? That the people who were engaging in this religious piety, this act of service and buying and selling goods so that they could then go in and sacrifice animals in the temple, in their holy space, they were making the one space where others might encounter the living God, they were making that a distraction. They were saying, all you outsiders, this space that you're supposed to be able to be in the temple, it doesn't really matter. So we're just going to fill it up with tables and money changers and cattle. Do you see the power of that? That Jesus goes immediately for the outsiders. Jesus goes immediately to the place where the ones who feel like they don't belong have been pushed out even further, and he just goes wild. He fixes it. He says, no way. That is not what my God that I love and come from is about. Interesting. I find it quite powerful. But back to the story. What does this mean for us? Well, I think it makes us think about what barriers we have in our religious life, our faith life. What barriers get in the way of us truly coming to God? Think about it practically here at St. James. What distracts you from worship? Do you feel like you need to come to worship with it all figured out? Have you got this sense that there's this unspoken standard you need to meet in order to be here and in order to come to God? Or maybe it's something about the way we worship here together in our physical space. Maybe there's a barrier for you. Maybe it's that I stand up here and preach and I kind of wander around on the stage. Maybe that's a distraction to you. Maybe you don't like the hymns we sing. Maybe it's the color of the carpet or the lights or the pews or, you know, whatever. Is that a distraction to you? Maybe it is. I just want to bring that to the front. Make you think about that a little bit today. Maybe it's that there's a person sitting in the pew beside you or hopefully on the very other end of the sanctuary from you that distracts you in your worship. Maybe there's reconciliation that needs to take place, peace between you. Perhaps that is what comes to mind as we talk about distractions. What I want to encourage us to do this morning is to hear this invitation to cleansing. To cleanse the temple that is inside of you where God rests and lives, and also the temple that is outside of you where we share in our life together. In this season of Lent, we often talk about cleansing because it's an opportunity for us to consider what might it be like for us to quit something, to give something up, to take away those distractions. The time is right, as we talked about last week. The time is maybe right for you to think about cleansing, letting go in this season. Now, I'm going to be honest. I'm not very good at quitting things. I want to tell you a story about a time quite a while ago when I finally had to quit and give something up. Something that I loved, but something that was ultimately distracting me from other good things in my life, other good things God was doing with me. So like I said, I'm not good at quitting things. Just want to reiterate that. I'm a bit of an overachiever, and I like to put a lot on my plate. Sometimes that has gotten me to the place where I have to actually let go of things I love. In high school, for instance, I learned a really strong lesson about what it means to have too much on my plate and quitting something that I loved dearly. I loved playing baseball as a kid. You might have guessed that by the bulletin cover there was going to be something about baseball here this morning. It was the first organized sport I ever played. I played T-ball in kindergarten. I did coach pitch all the way through elementary school, then kid pitch, then longer baselines, then tryouts and little league, and the whole great American childhood pastime. I loved it. Being a lefty, a left-handed person, but it's pronounced lefty, I was a first baseman and a pitcher in late elementary school. And for a while, I was actually pretty okay at it. I wasn't the best out there, but being tall and skinny allowed me to have long arms to stretch and catch the ball at first, or a good long throw from the pitcher's mound. I loved hearing the umpire in the corner of my ear saying, "You're out," when we got somebody at first base, or throwing strikes. And my passion for the sport didn't just stay on the baseball field, the diamond itself, but it extended into the whole sport. I was a huge Seattle Mariners fan, still am a Seattle Mariners fan. Between the years of 1992 and 1998, I could repeat back almost every batting average, home run, strikeout stat from every player on the Mariners roster. I knew winning percentages and league standings. I'd get up every morning during baseball season, and well before everyone in the house, I would go out to our porch, and I'd find the newspaper, and I'd sit there, and I'd look through the stats of last night's game, the box score, poring over all of the information. Do you remember newspapers, by the way? They're those black and white, really thin paper things that, yeah, I read those when I was a kid. I still do. And I still loved I love baseball, and I loved baseball. But as I said, I'm not good at quitting things, especially when the signs are getting very clear that it's time. So let's fast forward to freshman year of high school. Early spring, and long and lanky Seth, who had not begun to fill out as much as I have now, was getting ready to try out for the high school baseball team for the first time. I tried out for the Edmonds Woodway Warriors team. And if you know anything about Edmonds, or it's important to note, Edmonds is something of a baseball community. Baseball's really important in that town. Everybody goes to the games of little leaguers. And we actually boast that we have a number of Major League Baseball players that have been drafted out of high school from our school district there. So, I mean, baseball's a big deal. I played with guys who went on to play in the major leagues. So I tried out for the team. You can see where this is maybe going. I didn't make it. Not even to the second round of tryouts. I couldn't hit the ball. I couldn't land a strike. And by no means was I throwing anywhere near as fast as any of the other kids my age. I missed catches at first base. I let ground balls slip past. I did reasonably poor in that tryout. I remember the afternoon. I remember getting into my dad's Ford F-250 pickup when the lists had been posted on the walls outside the stadium, those who'd made it and those who were cut. I had the sinking suspicion going into that day that it wasn't going to go well, and the list confirmed it. I didn't make the team. I remember just sitting there with my dad, listening, who listened to me as I explained my devastation and my frustration in this moment. I'm being comforted by him. I held in my tears, but we both knew it was time. It was time for this piece to be done. It was time to quit. It was time to give it up. I think I realized something in that moment, that afternoon, that I needed to learn. That I wasn't going to be able to play baseball all my life, and it was time to move on, and that that was okay. As I look back on this time, I realize how grateful I am that I have fond memories of playing baseball all the way through my youth. But for me, this was a shift. This was a place that I needed to let go of something and to let it be given up and never returned to. It's much less dramatic than Jesus turning over tables in the temple. And yet, at the same time, it has a deep connection for me to that story. There was a distraction in my life. There was something that I had let get beyond the bounds of what was important and what mattered. I put that over that as a priority of my identity, of who I was, and it was time to let it go. Once more, I'm not good at quitting things. And I could have fought, and I could have kicked, and I could have screamed and said I wanted to make the team, and I would have tried harder the next year. But instead, something shifted within me, and I realized that sometimes it's okay to give something up, to cleanse, to let go. Sometimes I need to have my world tipped over and rethink what's important. I bet you all have stories that are similar to this. When you had to give something up to let go and make a shift. This passage that we hear in the book of John is much more dramatic, obviously. It's much more intense, this ripping and tearing and whipping and overturning tables. And yet, at the very core, the story from Scripture and my story about giving up baseball have a common foundation. God will call us to break things, for things to break down, to change things, for things to be rearranged in order that we come closer to the truer, deeper knowledge and love of Christ. It's all in God's time that things begin to break down. And then there's a time to rebuild and to recover into a greater alignment of what it means to be in relationship with God. So as we hear this story this morning, I wonder what it stirs up in you about what needs cleansing. Or what have we built here at St. James that needs to be torn down in order for us to be a place where people can come to God more simply, more easily, without as many barriers? Today I want to close with two steps of invitation to each of us. First, we're going to sing a song in a moment called Be the Center. It's very simple, and it reminds us that all through our lives, through all things, we're invited to make Jesus the center of it all. All other distractions, all other goods and services that we might buy ourselves towards God, they're nothing in comparison to what it means to be in relationship with God truly, closely. Christ is the only thing we need, the only center that we need to rely on. So I hope that you hear an invitation today to make Christ the center of your life, a still point in this wild and swirling world. Second, the invitation is to come to the table today. And before you do that, before you get out of your seat today, I invite you to do an internal check of yourself. What are you holding back? Or rather, what is holding you back? What's nagging at you? What's not letting you come to the table fully? What needs to be let go of, broken down, quit, given up, and cleansed? I don't ask this to help stir up feelings of not being enough or being guilty for who you are, but rather this is an invitation to hear that all of that stuff that we think keeps us from the table, keeps us from God, can be let go. God wants you to come into relationship with God, to be known by God, to eat and be welcomed at this table and relieved of your burden. So friends, as you hear the invitation to the Lord's table today, I hope you hear an invitation of freedom, of letting go what's held you captive, of being released and knowing that you are a beloved child of God. Let's pray and prepare our hearts. God, we ask that this morning you would call us into a place where we can hear this invitation to cleanse, this invitation to come fully to your table, not held back at all. God, extend that invitation to us in the ways that we need to hear it. Amen. Find the song Be the Center in the insert in your bulletin. It's always a joy to get to play a little guitar and play with Carolyn here this morning, so I invite you to follow along and sing as you are comfortable.